So first we begin with the Hele Gemara Nayim, Parshas Yisro. The Hele Gemara Nayim says many beautiful things on the Parsha. And amongst them, the Parsha of Kabbalah Zotayra, it says here, V'ahor bo'er ba'esh ad leva shamayim. The mountain is burning with fire ad leva shamayim, to the heart of heaven. What does it mean, to the heart of heaven? It's a new kind of a metaphor, until the heart of heaven. Actually, the pasuk, that particular pasuk, is in Dvorim Perek Dalet Pasuk Yud Aleph. But the idea of fire is mentioned here as well, this week's parasha. So what is this constant reference to fire? And also Lev HaShemayim. There it says Lev. He says, because Moshe Rabbeinu brought down the two luchais. Zok the Marinayim, you think, why are they called luchais? Tablets. There are many different words in the Hebrew for a piece of stone. The reason it's called lucha is because luchais refers to the heart. Like it says in Mishlei, it says about Torah, kosveim al luach libecha. In Mishlei, Paragimel, Pasuk Gimel, chapter 3:3, it says, write the Torah down al luchos libecha, on the tablets of your heart. The word is, says, it's such a merdig of word, pasuk orinayim. When Moshe put down the luchas, you understand what's the significance of the luchas? What do you need luchas for? Luchas just 10 commandments. 10 commandments have no meaning. There's nothing special about the 10 commandments. There's no halachic preference because of 10 commandments. There's no special rules about them. They're not more important than anything else. The answer is, says the Marnayim, what's going on over here is nothing less than a heart transplant. God sent Moshe Rabbeinu down luchas because Bahor, Bayer, Ba'esh, Adleva Shamayim. There's a flesh heart. There's a heart that only is interested in matters of the flesh. There's a heart that only has a burning passion and desire and lust for Lamhaza and flesh. And a person who has that kind of a desire for Lamhaza cannot learn Torah. You can't learn Torah with such a desire. You have to have a heart transplant. Kabbalah Satayr was a heart transplant. Bahor, the mountain was burning with fire because it had the Lev Shamayim in it. It had the heavenly heart, and the heavenly heart is full of fire for God and full of fire for Torah. And the luchos, the two luchos, represent the two parts of the heart, the oracles, the ventricles, the right side, the left side. And the Lev is called Luach HaLev, Kasim Luach Libecha. And when Moshe brought down the two luchos, it's like he was giving Klai Yisrael a heart transplant. He was giving them the Hor Bo'er Ba'esh Lev Shemayim, the burning heart of heaven, he was putting in the Klal Yisrael. Without the heart, you can't make Kabbalah Torah. Merdik. You hear? Pshhh. Pasuk the Morning Naim Azavot. Shalev Nikra Luach. And the Pnimiyas HaTorah is called the Lev HaShemayim, which means the Lev Laviyim Sheba Shemayim. Lev HaShemayim means that our yearning is to be with our Father in heaven, with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And to have that, you have to have a Lev Nishba Nitke. You have to have a... You have to be humble. And humility means that I'm not entitled to everything in Olam Hazeh. The person feels I'm entitled to everything. I'm entitled to go skiing. I'm entitled to go to the fanciest tours on Pesach. I'm entitled to this. I'm entitled to that. I'm entitled to the fancy car. I'm entitled to the fancy house. I'm entitled. That means that's the biggest gaiva. I'm a humble person. I know I'm a nobody. You're right. You're a big amoritz. You're taka big amoritz. It doesn't mean you're none of. Because you know you're amoritz. So you know you're taka Russia. I know I'm a Russian rabbi, I'm not a Balgaiva, I know I'm a Russian, I'm a Moritz, thank you very much. Still a Balgaiva, because you're self-centered. And it's all about your life, about one thing, pampering yourself. And you know you're a Russian, you know you're not Moritz, you know you're garnished, but still, you made a few bucks, you're entitled to everything. And if you don't make a few bucks, you're still entitled to everything. And you want the whole world, but you own everything. You're entitled to all the pampering in the world. You have some money, use it, L'shem Shemayim, for the Rabbanu Shalom. That's humility. Humility is I'm nothing. I have no agenda for me. I'm entitled to nothing, everything belongs to the Rebbeinu Shlom. That's Lev Shemayim, Lev Nishbar V'Nidke. And now, says the Morinayim Vayter, it says in by Kabbalah Torah, V'Yidaber Likim Eskol Advorim V'Eila Leymor. Hashem spoke all these words, Leymor. What does that mean? He says, Elikim, of course, is Gevura. Elikim is Yira. Because Chazal say, Kol sheyirasoi kademes dechachmasoi chachmasoi miskayemes. Whoever has more Yerushamayim, as Yerushamayim is more important to him than his Torah chachma, his chachma will be miskayem, his chachma will survive. It'll be valuable. It'll continue. It'll be real. If you're more your Shemayim than you have Torah, then your Torah will stay with you, and your Torah will have true value. And Miskayim means it'll be perpetuated. It'll exist. It'll continue. It'll survive. But if you have more Chachma than your Shemayim, if your Chachma is more important than your Shemayim, the Torah will not be Miskayim. It will not last with you. It will not go your whole lifetime. It's not going to save you in the world to come. You know why he says this all fits him beautifully? He says the Maranayim. Because Torah itself is fire. Like we just said, Torah is fire. Torah is out of this world. Torah is fire. It's from a different dimension. So how are you going to have Torah inside of you without having it burn you up? Torah is going to burn you up. It'll consume you. Really. It'll destroy you. You're not worthy of the Torah. You're not worthy of it. It'll consume you. So how are you going to have the Torah? So it's such a hot pot, the Torah, you have to have pot holders. You ever try to pick up a hot chon pot without pot holders? You're not going to enjoy the chon. It's going to burn you. You're going to end up not having any Shabbos in this chon. Do you ever try putting your finger, your whole hand in a chon pot and eat out of your hand? You'll burn your hand. You need a spoon. The pot holder to protect you from the heat of the Torah is called Yerushalayim. When you have Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim is the insulation that comes between you and the Torah, but protects you from the Torah. Yerushalayim means that you realize where it's coming. I'm coming from the Rabbanu Shalom. And you realize you have to treat the Torah with great respect. And it's not your wisdom, it's God's wisdom. And even when you're teaching a shir, you sound so brilliant, interested in being brilliant yourself. You're interested in impressing your audience and your students with God's great wisdom and inspiring them to be closer to Hashem. For that you acquire Yerushalayim. Without Yerushalayim, the Torah will destroy you. It will not be Miskayim. The wisdom will you'll literally be destroyed. It will. It will catch up to you. It might take 10 years, 20 years. Ultimately, you'll have such a radioactive, the radioactivity doesn't destroy you right away. Mild radioactivity. It's accumulative. But ultimately, it'll destroy you. So to Torah without Yerushalayim, that's like radioactivity without insulation. It will be a Chernobyl. It's going to get you. It's going to blow up in your face and destroy you. So Yerushalayim is a potholder. Yerushalayim is what protects you from the heat of the Torah. Yirahi HaKlishol Torah. Without that, it's like trying to get the hot stuff without an insulation. He says, therefore, Zok Demaranayim, Yesh Kama Bekiyim, Lomdim, Shebekiyim, Bekol HaShas, Apoyskim, Rishon, Vachrayinim. But below Yira ain't the klum. There's some people baki and gan shas rishayim v'achrayim and gan shulchan aruch is worthless. Without Yerushalayim, is a gom nisht. Because kilakeach eish below kli. It's like taking the fire without a pot holder, without handles. And below Yira is nothing. And he's nisrefu v'amoichan shloiv and yochel lava is Hashem ki nisrefu v'amoich shloiv. His moichan destroyed. Meaning his true intellect, his Torah intellect is destroyed. I think I've seen it. I've seen it. Time. I've seen people who learn a lot of Torah, but it's without Yerushalayim, not enough Yerushalayim. It's not enough Yerushalayim. It has to be Yerusha Kedemus Lechachmosi. And the Moranayim says, a Gavalti Gadiak over here, it says there's a Pirkei Avos, of course, Perigimel Mishnah Tes, Kol Sheyerusha Yerushalayim Kedemus Lechachmosi, Chachmosim is Kayemes. Whoever has Yerushalayim, which comes before his Chachma, then his chacham is miskayemes. Says that Moranayim that miskayemes is lashon mace kayemes. Only he can say shadiyak. Miskayemes is mem saf mace kayemes, which means chachmasa. If you kill your chachma, if it's mace, then it's kayem. In other words, if you think that your chachma is everything, and you think that you're really something, it's my chachma. And you live up as your chachma, then you have nothing. But if you learn with your Shemayim, then you realize that the chachma itself is dead. The chachma alone is dead. The only thing that brings the chachma to life is your Shemayim. Kol she yirasai kedemas lechachmasai, chachmasai meis kayemes. The dead chachma will come to life. Your Shemayim gives it life, because your Shemayim is I believe in Hashem. I never separate the wisdom of Torah from the giver, which is the Rabban Shalom. So when I have Yerushalayim, Men chokhmosay meis kayemes. The Torah I know is dead without the Rabbanu Shlom, and now they have Yerushalayim, because they knew it was meis, now it's kayemes. That's the pshat of the Hele Gemara 9. It's Meir de Gezach. You will not become great in Torah. Your Torah will not last. Ultimately, it will disappear from you. You will, the Torah will, your Torah will be Narishkeit, will not be Torah Semes. It will be a distorted, perverted, adulterated Torah. Without proper Yerushamayim, it's like, again, eating the best challah, burning hot, straight into your mouth, it burns you. Ultimately, it's terrible. So to the Torah, some people that learn say big chedushim, but without the proper Yerushamayim, they will be burnt. You don't have sechel Torah. I can't describe sechel. Sechel Torah is something that when you hear it, you know it. Some people speak with true Torah sechel, some don't. The Torah itself can be mazik you. Without Yerushamayim, the Torah itself is dangerous. Very simple. The Torah is dangerous without Yerushamayim. These are the words of the Hele Gemara Nayim and Heidegger Parsha. A lot more, of course. I started doing Maranayim 4 years ago, Parshas Yisrov, so this is like an anniversary of sorts. Fourth anniversary of learning Maranayim. Maybe we'll get back to it a little bit if we have time, but I want to go to the Halakha Kedushas Levi. Kedushas Levi also speaks about the Parsha. And again, similar subjects, always the subject of learning Torah for the right reasons. So the Kedushas Levi says a lot of great things over here. And the primary thing I wanted to focus on is he speaks again and again about Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, and here he brings down Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Ayin Rashi, Bisa B'Medrash, Mechilta Parsh Yisro, Perikei, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, it's a Mechilta, it's a Psik the Rabbasi, Bayam Nigla Lehem Kebocher, Uvimatan Torah Nigla Lehem Kezakin. That the Rabbi Shalom reveals himself to Klai Yisrael in different ways under different circumstances. At Yamsuf, the Rabbi Shalom looked like a bacher. Everyone saw the Rabbi Shalom Yamsuf, right? Rosh Hashivcha Yam, and Asherol Yecheska Mavuzi. Hashivcha at the sea saw the Rabbi Shalom Kav Yachol. Why did even the lowly maidservant see? She saw a bacher, saw a Mechoil. And by Har Sinai, the Rebbe Shalom looked like a Zaken, looked like you. Zaken, nice gray white beard. A Zaken. So the question is, what does this mean? Chazal. What does it mean? Why Taka by Kriyas Yamsov Hashem looked like a Bacher? And by Matan Torah Hashem looked like a Zaken, like an older Talmid Chachamim, a wise old sage. What does it mean? What's the Pshat? So the Kedush Levi says, beautiful Pshat, and again, usually I can only give you a little bit. The pshat is, again, he says a lot of deep things. I'm gonna try to stick to what I understand somewhat. He asked another kasha. The Ramban asked a question in one of his drashas Torah Hashem Tamima. Mipnei ma le'amar anech Hashem alekecha asher berasi shmai v'aretz. Very good question. Why does it say in the Aseres HaDibros, Anoich Hashem Elokecha, first Dibra, Anoich Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzisicha Meretz Shraim, I am Hashem your God, took you out of Egypt. Hashem did bigger things than that. Egypt is one little historical event. It should say, Anoich Hashem Elokecha, Asher Barasi Shamayim V'aretz, I am Hashem your God, who created heaven and earth. That's a very good question, no? You have a Teretz? Well, I think the Ibn Ezra brings the Kasha down from Yehuda Levi, I think, if I'm mistaken. And the answer is that if we say, Anoich Hashem Elokecha, Asher Barasi Shemayim V'aretz, then you'd have a question, so why is God giving the Torah and the Dibros just to the Jewish people? He should give it to all creations, all human beings at least. They're all benefiting from the fact that Hashem makes the Shemayim V'aretz. So why is the Torah, now that we're saying, Anoich Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzisichem Eretz Yisrael, Beis Avodim, oh, very good, Hashem took us out of Yisrael. You know why? Why did he take us out of the Beis? So that we should not be servants to power, we should be servants to Him. Oh, so that explains why God's coming to us now and giving us the Seres HaDibros. Because we have a special obligation of gratitude to Hashem. It's not only gratitude, it's really servitude to Hashem. That Hashem took us from servants of power to be a servant. So we understand why we should do it. But the Kedush Levi says much, 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 much deeper over here. At least it seems to be deeper. And he says the answer is based on that Chazal. That by Matan Torah, the Rebbe Hashem is Niglam Kizokim. By Matan Torah, the Rebbe Hashem revealed himself like an old scholar, an old sage. And by the Yam Hashem revealed himself like a Bocher. What's the Pshat? So that he himself explains it in a few places on this parasha. It's a recurrent theme. So the first part, I'll tell you the first way he explains it. He says, the first way he explains it is that there's two bechinas, there is two dimensions of how people serve their Ribbono Shel Olam. Some people serve their Ribbono Shel Olam begin the ihu rav v'shalit. They make some aliba at tayves chasadim Hashem Shem Yisborach mashpi alav. Ki kol atayves v'chal tanugim kaloi nashavu neged taynag avdus habayri baruch hu. Zogt the Kedush Levi, there's two ways to serve Hashem. Some people serve Hashem out of taka gratitude that Hashem is so nice to us. So, you need a candy bar today? Thank Hashem for the candy bar. Do you have a car today? Thank Hashem for the car with four tires, winter tires. Do you have heat in your house today? Thank Hashem for the heat. It's a little expensive, but you have heat. Baruch Hashem. Thank Hashem for your wife, for your children. Baruch Hashem. Is that a good way to serve Hashem? It's okay. Not the greatest. The greatest reason to serve Hashem is, the real reason to serve Hashem is because Hashem is so awesome. Hashem is awesome. Hashem is the master of the universe, Shemayim Varas, the master of all the billions of galaxies and billions of stars. Hashem is so amazing, and Hashem is like we say in the Yom Nerayim. There's no number, there's no end to all the glorious chariots of Hashem. Hashem is amazing, Hashem is awesome, Hashem is so great. So I serve Hashem because my biggest privilege to be seen with Hashem. So if we could get you an opportunity to just sit next to the Rabbi Yashiv, you'd be so excited. Now, imagine if we get your picture in the paper even with Rabbi Yashiv. Wow. You're very excited. Now, you're not asking for any favors. He's not doing anything for you. You're not asking him nothing. Just the schus to sit next to Rabbi Yashiv, the Gadol Hador, you'd be so excited. So imagine when the square Rebbe is sitting in the square over there on his big throne, you know, by the Tu B'Shvatish, he says, Zisha, come here, V'chubed L'chaim, Zisha, and he puts you right next to him. Imagine that, a chair just for you, next to him, between his son and you. Usually it's the crown prince next to the Rebbe. You get this next to the Rebbe, not the crown prince. Can you imagine? Wow, you're so good. Now you're not asking for any tithes, no brachas, no nothing, just the schus of being so close to the Rebbe, such a great individual. So a person who really serves Hashem for the right reason, it's because that's what I was created for, to serve Hashem. What greater thing could there be? Have you ever had that experience? Did you ever feel you're in the presence of a very great person? Now, the biggest privilege is to be in the presence of that great person. You don't need more than that. So that is called, yes, that's called, says the Kedushas Levi, that's called Moichen the Godless. This is a very important Kedushas Levi. Oh, yes, we should be sorry to give it over to you properly. There's a thing called Moichen the Godless, a big mind. There's little minds and big minds. There's Moichen the Katnus. Moichen the Katnus is when you serve Hashem because of value received, of services rendered. God just as good as the last check he sent you. It's like the rabbi. The rabbi treats you nicely, he's okay. The rabbi treats you nicely. The rabbi's only good as his last drasha, kosher entertainment. The rabbi's only good as his last favor, last good piece of advice. No advice, no favors, no entertainment. Who needs the rabbi? I found a new one. Well, we'll come with myself. So if you're serving Hashem for your own advantage, that's called moichim the katnus. That's like babies. He gives the mashal of later on, he gives the marshal of a father who buys his kids new suits. The king. The king buys his children beautiful new royal garments. So the young son, who's a baby, he's parading around, showing off his new clothing. Who is he trying to make look good? Himself. I look great. Don't look great in my new wardrobe. The older son, however, who appreciates the awesome greatness of his own father, he is parading around his new clothing to show the glory of his father. Look at the glorious clothing my father gave me. Ah, what a great king we have. Look at this. Who can make such good, beautiful clothing except for my father, the king? So both sons are wearing new clothing, but each one for a totally different reason. Is it to show off the greatness of the king, or to show off my own greatness? Look how great I look. Don't look awesome. I'm so handsome. I look so good. Moichin, the godless, great minds mean I'm serving Hashem to make Hashem look great. It's the biggest privilege to serve Hashem. Wow. It's worthwhile being created to glorify the Creator. And Moichin, the godless, this is all about me. I love God, yeah, because He takes good care of me. He pampers me. So he says, that's the chilek between Bacher and Zaken. By the Yams of the Yid were still babies. And they were like, kid Bacher, Rabbi Yeshiva Bacher, as long as Tati sends them money, everything is good. Tati doesn't send me money. What's he learning the Yeshiva for the Yeshiva Bacher? So he can get a good shidduch. That's all. He has to get a good college. He has to learn good, right? You want him to get a good shidduch. It's all about himself. That's Moichin the Katnus. So by Yamsuf, they were still not holding my Moichin the Godless, they were holding my Moichin the Katnus. It was still selfish. And that's why Hashem appeared to them as a Bacher, or as Hashem appeared as a reflection of how the attack was serving Hashem, like Bacher, like a kid. But at Har Sinai, we grew a lot. We steiged a lot. And at Har Sinai, the Rabbi Shlomo revealed to us like a Zokain, just like an older person, a mature person. We served Hashem like mature people. But he says a gavalt gezach. He says particularly by the Yamsuf, they did everything. They were just dying to get all the bezus Yamsuf. That's called Meichan the Katnus. Meichan the Godless means a zokin has big seichel. A bacher has a kleiner cup. A bacher has kleiner seichel, and a zokin has a big seichel, has a big cup, a big understanding, a big intellect. He does things for the big right reasons. He says that's the reason why the Gemara says in Baba Kama, that you don't have, in the whole first Dibras, one letter is missing. You know what letter is missing from the whole first Dibras? They have all letters of the alphabet except for one. Oh, this is basic Judaism. Which letter is missing? W? Which letter is missing? Sadi? Anoich Hashem Elokeach Yisichem Eretz Mitzrayim. Sadi. Samach? Missing a Samach, yeah? Really? There's no Samach in the No, the Ten Commandments, all ten.
All ten?
All ten. There's a Samach there someplace. Pesel, right? There's a Samach Pesel. What letter is missing? There's a Pei, there's an Aleph, there's a Beis. There's a Gimel. Dalet, is there a Dalet?
Yes,
okay. Okay, is there a Hey? Is there a Vav? Is there a Zion?
Zion?
What? No Zion. No Zion. I'm sure about that now. Okay. I'm sure there is. I said, open my Chumash, I'll find the Zion. What? He says no Zion, huh? No Zion. You're not a Zionist. Because there was anti-Zionist. There's no Zion. It says in my Aseres Dibros over here, mine says like this, Zocher is Yom HaShabbos L'Katshoy. Pretty Zionistic to me. I see a Zion. Ches, is there a Ches? A Tes, that's right. There's a Ches, but Yom HaShabbos L'Shvi. It's all the Cheses. Loisachma is a Ches. Is there a test? No, there's no test. In Luchas Rishinus. Luchas Shnius, there is one, because in Luchas Rishinus, it doesn't say, here it says, Kavis Avichas Yemech Laman Yerich Yemecha. In the Shnius, it says, Laman Yitav Lach, it has the test in the second one. The first Luchas is no test, because test stands for Toiv, good. And the first Luchas, we weren't doing it for anything good. We weren't out for our own good, our own benefit. So the first Luchas, we're like a Zaken. God revealed himself like an old Zaken, the smart man. Old men are too old to want to be pampered anymore. They know what's right. Like me, old men, we've been there, done it. We know that the world's heaven, la volum. Got to serve Hashem for the right reasons. No test for toiv in Luchas Rishonos. But now, says now the Gezuz David continues and says, Yadua, kol mi sho'evet Hashem Yisborah, b'moichin the godless, ein l'shem moira pach mikol marosh, b'ozlov, a prisoner who serves Hashem with moichin the godless, I'm serving God for God's sake. He has no fear of anything in the world. Not even your drills. Afraid of nothing. Without Novocaine. Not afraid of anything. A person who serves Hashem Meichel, the godless, has nothing to be afraid of. Not even the IRS. Not even when the police cars are running after you with the blue and red signals. Nothing scares him. Not even his wife. Even though it's like a tzara, he transformed the tzara to tzohar. Tzohar means like a brilliant, shining gem. Because his heart was the Rabbi Nishnal. He serves Hashem with the Meichel and the godless. And he's above all this. When you serve Hashem for the right reasons, you're like with, you're up there with Hashem. You're above all of the forces in the world. You're above the police car, the sheriff on the Palisades Parkway. You're above the IRS. You're above the doctors. You're above everybody. The bill collectors, everybody. You're way up there. When you're with Meichel and the godless, oh, and Echnami. Any tzar makes you worse. You're full of fear. All the chitzayim have power over you. And now says that this is awesome shtickle Torah. Says now you understand why the Shabbos before Pesach is called Shabbos HaGadol. Because Echnami before Matan Torah they were serving like Meichel the Katnas, like a bacher, like a young bacher who's immature, but on that Shabbos they achieved for one moment, it was a sporadic thing, but they had for one moment that a flash of Meichel the Godless. That's what it's called Shabbos HaGadol. That Shabbos before Yisrael Mitzrayim, they were not afraid of anybody. That's why they were willing to even take the sheep. You know, you can use a goat, and they took the sheep and tied it to their beds in the mitzvah. So they weren't afraid of the mitzvah. They're afraid of nothing because once you serve Hashem Meichel the Godless, you're afraid of nothing. Like this until now, they told the Egyptians. We cannot bring our sacrifices here inside the country because you'll kill us because you people don't believe in sacrifice of animals. We're afraid to do it in front of you. But in this Shabbos, they didn't care about anybody. They were not afraid of anybody. Not the Kagabe, not the Enkivide. No one scared them. Because they had Meichel the Godless. Meichel the Godless. Merde Gazach. That's what's called Shabbos HaGadol. Meichel the Godless. And that's the pshat. And that's why there was a special din that you only have at this Karm Pesach, no other, that they were supposed to take the Karm Pesach from the 10th day of Nisan, 4 days early. We don't have that in the future. Only here. You know why? Because to show that they're not afraid of anybody, and Hashem wanted to give them a taste of Meichel the Godless, what it means not to be afraid of any goy, any power in the world except for their Banishno. Because when your mind is totally for God, you're like God, and you're above all powers in the world. No power in the world intimidates you. Nothing. And he says, that's Pshat in Yisro. Attack in Hindig Parsha. Mamash Hindig Parsha. Perik Yitches Pasuk Yud Nir Aleph. The Yomi Yisro. Baruch Adonai Asher Hitzil Eschem Yad Mitzrayim Yad Paro. Asher Hitzil Esom Mitachas Yad Mitzrayim. Is that redundant? Listen to the Pasuk. Blessed is the Lord Asher Hitzil Eschem Yad Mitzrayim, who saved you from the hand of Mitzrayim, whom Yad Paro from the hand of Paro. He saved the nation from underneath the hand of Mitzrayim. He just said it. It's almost redundant. Same thing twice. Your mother said you didn't even notice it. Because the next pasuk says, Atu Yadati says, Yisro. Ki gadol Adonai mikol him. God's the biggest. God's big. You know why? Because that's the good pshat. The first time, he said, I know that God saved you, Miyad Mitzrayim, Miyad Mitzrayim, Miyad Paro, says the Hele Kedushas Levi. That was one level. The first level was that he saved us and gave us Moichel the Katnos. First he got us out of Mitzrayim, like babies. That we came out, that, you know, now we're out of Mitzrayim. That's the symbol of Mitzrayim. That was the physical release of Mitzrayim. But intellectually, still scared of Mitzrayim. You can be out of Mitzrayim physically, but still mentally, they were still petrified of Mitzrayim. They still have a Mitzrayim intellect. They're still thinking about themselves first. Selfish, egoistic, egocentric, narcissistic. You can still have that. So the first Baruch Hashem was, Baruch Hashem, we got out of the hands of Mitzrayim. But the second Baruch Hashem is, Asher Tzilus Om Mitachas Yad Mitzrayim. We're not under even the influence of Mitzrayim. And we can have Meichan the godless. And that's what the next words are. After Yadati, you go to the name, you call him. And now you can serve God, the Meichan the godless. The God is the biggest of everything. Not afraid of anybody. It's Gewaltic. This Navy is awesome. It's an awesome shtickle, Rabbi Yisrael. And that's the pshat. He explains many things with this. And he brings down from the Rizal, Priya Yisrael, that Pesach was serving Hashem with Meichan the Katnus, and Chag HaShavuos was Meichan the Godless. Maybe that's why everyone can go to Pesach hotels. Maybe it's okay, because Pesach is still Meichan the Katnus. He's serving God like immature children. So you have to go to the Pesach cruise, six meals a day, fully sumptuous, not sumptuous, even the tea room and midnight bash for chocoholics. So I hear the chatzais halayla. Vayehi v'chatzais halayla. Ozachlu chocolate b'mitzrayim. V'hisangu al kol gash v'yashev oilam. So maybe it's good that way. So the Arizal says that Pesach is moichin the katnas, like babies still, it's like kiddies. Maybe it's appropriate to be like kiddie land and avikoma and all the stuff. So he says, Avaita, he says, is a tzadzer, is Hashem l'shma, and shalai l'shma. On Pesach, the Rebbe Hashem revealed himself to us like a bacher. A bacher is all shalai l'shma. A bacher does nothing to l'shma. He'll come to my drega later, but there's shalai l'shma, ba l'shma. But a tzadzer does everything l'shma for the Rebbe Hashem. The bacher does for the sake of Olam Hazeh. The zakin works for the sake of Olam Haba. The zakin knows already. When you get to be my age, you know, Olam Haba is garnished. What's Hevel Avolam. Been there, done it. What? Olam Hazeh is nothing. Olam Haba is good. When you're a bach, you have a whole life in front of you. You want to get Olam Hazeh. You want to live it up. You know, I'll do tshuva later. I'm going to live it up now. So he brings down this mashal again. The king makes beautiful clothing for his little boy. The little boy is strutting around, showing off his own glory. He's not trying to give nachas to his father. He wants to give nachas to himself. When the king makes beautiful clothing for his older, mature son, the son is showing it off for the sake of the glory of the king. So, in Mitzrayim, everything is Shlomo Shema. And that's the pshat, he says, Mitzchila Oivdei V'Dazari of the same Mitzrayim. In the beginning, our fathers were Oivdei V'Dazari of Mitzrayim. What does that mean? Their moms worship idols. They didn't worship idols, they worshiped themselves. That's the V'Dazari also, self-worship. They didn't worship, they didn't bow down to Yashkas and Buddhas and Confucius and mice and rats and goats and monkeys and chimpanzees, like in India. No. They were bowing down to themselves. Shalom l'shma. If you, ma'ach ma'sho'evi is atzmai. Lo'evi da boire, that's about the zara. It's a ma'ach in the katlas. The biggest zara is to serve yourself. Shvu'ah is ma'ach in the godless. Different zach. He says that's the pshat. Oh, pshat over here. That's the vort. That is the vort. Ma'ach in the katlas, ma'ach in the godless. A beautiful, beautiful thing. So Shua, so how did it happen? That's what we said to the Moranayim. By Shua, Hashem gave us a new heart. How did it get transformed from Meichan the Katnus to Meichan the Godless? It's like the Hebrew Moranayim said. V'hor bo'er bo'esh ad leva shamayim. There's a leva shamayim. There's a leva aretz. There's a heart that yearns for heaven. There's a heart that yearns for earth. How do you get rid of the heaven, the physical flesh heart? You need a heart transplant. So the first heart transplant wasn't Dr. Barnard. The first heart transplant was Dr. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a great doctor. He transplanted the heart of the Jewish people, which was stone and flesh and stone, and gave it a heart of fire, a heart Lev HaShemayim, a heart that yearned for heaven, not for the Mahazah. That was the first heart transplant. That's why, in the Matan Torah, the Bashem revealed himself like a Zokain, who wants heaven more than earth, who wants Olam Haba more than Mahazah, who does everything Lishma. This is the site of the Heilige Kedushas Levi. I think we'll stop at that. And Mr. Shem, next week we'll go back to Wednesday night, Rabbi Yisrael. Wednesday nights.